Most college students spend their summers doing internships or relaxing before the next semester. But not this guy. Hi, Ian. How's it going?
Hey, Danny. How are you?
Ian McRae spent his sophomore year of college getting ready for a different kind of summer break.
I was actually in college and kind of knew I wanted to do this with my summers, and I'm glad I did now. Kind of got an early jump on things.
Things like building a website, applying for his captain's license, and forming an LLC. That was his first official summer as the owner of Connecticut Water Sports.
2019, the first year, we had just certainly got a little bit of traction towards the end of the summer around August. We had just starting to catch that first wave.
Now, 5 years later, Ian is my guest on this episode of Shoestring, the show where we help small businesses with big ambitions and tight budgets. I'm Danny Henyon.
Why water sports? Why did you start this business?
So I kind of grew up water skiing and boating and stuff like that. And one of my best friends, his father actually started doing fishing charters. And I kind of watched his journey and just kind of came to the conclusion that there was no reason I couldn't do something similar, but with my expertise in water sports.
If you, like me, didn't grow up on the water, you might be wondering, what does a water sports business look like?
We take out families water skiing, wakeboarding, tubing, on boat rides, lake tours.
They even have a summer water sports camp for kids.
And we just kind of take a spin on traditional boat rentals just to make the experience a little bit better.
He attributes most of his marketing success to having a good website experience.
That has definitely helped people find us.
Referrals.
Just people going out, having fun, and telling their friends.
Organic site traffic from search engine optimization.
I'll wake up and there's bookings, which is great.
And this one kind of surprised me. Google My Business updates. I don't hear these come up often in conversations with small business owners, but if you've ever searched for a business on Google and saw social media-like posts on their business listing, you've seen these updates.
I like to try and use the Google My Business updates just because a lot of business owners aren't, and it just shows activity and what's going on behind the scenes a little bit.
He also has an email marketing list.
We will collect emails during the checkout process. And then from there, I've been building that email list. I think it's at maybe a couple thousand people now.
All of these marketing activities have brought Ian a steady stream of business. But here's where he's looking for our help. First, he wants to know, how can I make sure I'm sending the right message to the right customer groups? Groups like
our kids camp audience, our pontoon audience, and our traditional water sports instruction. For example, the kids camp audience, I'd like to send them more messages regarding signups. But, our pontoon customers, I don't want them getting those messages over and over and getting annoyed either. I could see how digging in on each of those could provide a more customized message.
Second, Ian wants to be more intentional with how he connects with his audience.
I'd say our biggest marketing challenges are just consistency. I try and send a monthly newsletter and just any updates. I do have some of our crew help with some social media posts and stuff like that. But yeah, probably just trying to be more consistent.
I knew that for this marketing mission, I'd need a crew of my own to help answer the question, how can Ian make his marketing more targeted and consistent? So I jumped on a call with my co-host, Alfredo, and two email marketing experts on our team, Natalie and Julia, to share what I learned. Natalie and Julia work at Mailjet, a Cinch company and Ian's email service provider. He gave us the green light to go into his account and look for ways to group his contacts by services that they've booked in the past. But Natalie said,
with the information we have, they can't segment on that. We just have their email address and when they're added. I would love to know what information they're collecting, because I think, especially within Mailjet, helping them set up their contact list that they can segment and collect that information and have it easily uploaded would be a great way to start.
Right now, Ian is sending the same messages to everyone. But if he could break up his list based on customer data, those emails would probably perform a lot better. But where would he get the customer data? I remember that on my call with Ian, he mentioned that he had access to customer reports in his online booking platform.
Fair Harbor is the one we use. And I haven't dug in enough there, but that also allows me to get custom reports on, you know, who's booked by what item and that kind of stuff. So I do have some good data there as well.
Since Ian already has access to this data, connecting it to Mailjet would be simple. If you could pull that information, then you can go into Mailjet and create segments. And with those segments, you can then send those targeted campaigns to anybody who has signed up for KidsCamp or anybody who's taken a pontoon ride in the last 6 months or something.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I think, just breaking up into those three sections will be good because it's not like too specific, but it's enough where like the, you know, 70-year-old couple that went on a pontoon ride can be separated from someone with little kids that is looking for camp.
Ian can also use these customer segments to send important updates and encourage repeat business. You can continue to nurture these people. So you can, let's say they do sign up for Kids Camp. So you can, after Kids Camp ends or after their session ends, you can say, hey, book a trip to let your kids show off their new skills because they may want to, you know, check that out.
That's kind of exactly the model. Like if people are out on a charter, we tell them about camp. And then when parents show up for camp, we tell them we do charters as well. So sometimes there is a little bit of a gap. Sometimes, especially for camp, parents don't really realize that they can come out on the weekend with us. So some way to give them that information might be good just so they know it's available.
Ian could send an email to these customers a year later to invite them back. Or is a year too long to wait? Hang on. Julia knows a lot more about email marketing than I do. Let's see what she thinks.
I think leaving it a year is too long, you know, so like they should start putting in that work now to just like keep them engaged through the winter, get them looking forward to warm weather so that, you know, you're not leaving it too long.
Okay. We had a plan for creating contact segments and staying in touch with them throughout the year. Now we had another important topic for our resident email experts. Here's Alfredo.
What about the emails themselves? I'm curious to get your take on that.
Before I share Julia and Natalie's design feedback, let me just say that we asked them to pick these emails apart. It's completely normal for a business owner not to know all of these email design practices up front. And honestly, the fact that Ian had automated emails at all put him ahead of the game. With that said, here are three email design rules we learned from Natalie and Julia. Number one, don't let the graphics distract from the main message.
Just from like a design standpoint, the logo's too large, and the image, while good and fun, it takes up too much space.
Rule number two, keep the message simple so your contacts don't get distracted from the action you want them to take. Like in this email about the start of the 2024 water sports season.
A commercial lease has taken a little longer than usual to get confirmed for the season. We plan to have online booking calendar open by May 1st. Just like twist that and be like, online booking starts May 1st. Get in there.
Rule number three, if you do need to include a lot of information in one email, like for a monthly newsletter, make the email easy to skim and digest.
I would want to see like a header to summarize what I'm about to read. Like, do I even want to read it? Like, give me something to draw me in. When writing copy, I always just assume everyone has ADHD because like you'll lose me really quickly if I'm reading it. Like, I want to get to the good right away.
And here's a bonus tip. If you want to get a better idea of what your contacts are interested in, use links to your advantage. For instance, instead of linking back to your homepage throughout the email, link to specific product or service pages. Here's an example from Julia.
I'm looking at the bottom text too. Opening day for water sports and pontoon charters will be this day. And they could break that out into three different sections. Pontoon charters, are you interested in that? Water sports, are you interested in that? Kids camp, interested in that? Here's what you need to know.
Each of these sections would have a button that links to the service pages on Connecticut Water Sports site. And after sending the email campaign, Ian can get a report of who clicked on each link and send them a follow-up email campaign about those topics. Like sending everyone who clicked on the pontoon rides link an email with pontoon customer testimonials. I showed Ian some mock-ups of what his emails could look like with all of these best practices from Julia and Natalie.
That looks really good. Kind of shows even just from seeing that first top portion, even just having that segmentation almost in the email as well.
Ian's email contacts all opted into his marketing messages at checkout. Natalie and Julia suggested adding a sign-up form to the service pages, not only to help Ian nurture leads, but also to give people an easy way to save the information when they're comparing businesses.
It could be as simple as a call out on, say, the Kids Camp page that says,
you know, not ready to book, but want more information of how we work.
Then an invitation to enter their email to learn more about Kids Camp.
I can see the Kids Camp especially, like, you might want information before booking because you're like, oh, I'm trusting these instructors or whoever with my 8-year-old child on water all day. Like, I need to know a little bit more about them.
Yeah, a sign up form for more information that could go into like a welcome automation that just automatically gives them information over a few days.
Information like instructor bios, what the kids learn each day, safety guidelines, and testimonials.
That's a good idea. The parents, you know, they're kind of looking at a lot of different options and concerned about, you know, safety and stuff with water sports, of course. So that could be a good way to dive deeper.
And Ian can use these nurture emails to address any potential objections too.
If I'm a parent and I'm like, okay, I work during the week, but I want my kids to go to this. How do I get them there? What do I do during this? You could say, hey, here's some local recommendations around the lake. We definitely recommend going to this cafe and they have Wi-Fi. So if I work remotely, I can go there and work while my kids are, you know, at camp. So you can provide those recommendations so that it's like, oh, I know now they've already taken the work out for me.
That's huge. Yeah, I like that.
We covered some more ground beyond segmentation and lead nurturing, like ideas for how Ian can reach potential local customers on social. You can tap the link in the show notes to see the full slide deck that I shared with Ian, in case you're curious.
That was great. I really like the ideas, Danny. So at this point, it'll just be kind of putting things into action piece by piece, but this is all really good to have some outside perspectives from some professionals.
If you want an outside perspective from some professionals too, text us at 954-419-3657. We check every message, and if we think we can help, you could be featured on an upcoming episode of Shoestring. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review. It means the world to me and the rest of the team, and it helps others find the show. Also, tap the subscribe button to find out about future episodes, including check-ins to see if our suggestions helped our guests. Shoestring is a podcast by Cinch, the customer communications cloud. We create products that make it easy for businesses of any size to reach their customers by text, email, phone call, or pretty much any other channel you can think of. One of our products is Mailjet, which Ian uses to email his customers. Shoestring is written and edited by Alfredo Salkeld and me, Danny Henyon. Thanks for listening.